Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN2. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can always join the conversation on the call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. That is 888-729-3776. Harry, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest kicks off 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on ESPN. Are you a hot dog eating contest kind of guy?
I'm not even a hot dog guy, so I don't like hot dogs. My guy, Pat Costello, he loves hot dogs. He eat them for just about every holiday. I don't know why. This Nathan,
every holiday? Hold on, Pat. Every holiday? Like, no. Thanksgiving, you're firing up hot dogs on
the
grill?
I'm being slandered over here by Harry Douglas. This is ridiculous. No, I eat them in the summer during like Memorial Day and 4th of July and stuff like that. That normal
the
hot dog eating.
Appropriate hot dog holidays.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about food earlier in the show. And by the way, happy July 4th, America. Hopefully you're waking up with us and getting ready to fire up that grill here pretty soon. We were talking earlier in the show about July 4th food. And I said to me, July 4th is, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs. I'm not even a hot dog girl either, Harry Douglas. But hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, like those sorts of things are July 4th. You're all fancy over there with your menu.
I'm trying to tell y'all, man, growing up, I have never eaten hamburgers and hot dogs at cookouts. My parents have never cooked that. So that is foreign to me. That's just foreign. I've always had like ribs, chicken, collard
lobster
greens,
tails.
Mac and cheese. Well, not growing up. Well, I ain't
lobster
had money like that
tails.
Growing up. We ain't have lobster tails growing up, but I got money now. So, you know, little lobster tails on. But I'm cooking them today.
I was going to say, you grew up in a slightly different world than the rest of us with the lobster tails on the grill at 5 years old instead of hot dogs. So I think you're missing out not eating hamburgers and hot dogs for July 4th. However, the hot dog eating contest, like, it's on ESPN. So, like, big ups, obviously, go watch it, ESPN. We're all fam here. But I got to be honest, like, eating contests generally, I can't do it. I can't do it, Harry.
It makes me feel bloated just looking at them stuff all those hot dogs down their throats. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I will probably watch it, but...
I'm not a fan.
I mean, I've watched it many a times, but I normally regret watching it.
I will go as far as to say it is the most impressive athletic event of the year. The fact
that these men can jam 80 hot dogs
into their stomach is just unbelievable.
Well, I think the most impressive component of it is that somehow they're trim and they don't look like people that you could fit 80 hot dogs. It's bizarre. I just always want to know, how do you know that you have that talent? Like, at what point in life does it hit you where you're like, this is what I could do. I could consume 80 hot dogs in 3 minutes or whatever the heck that they do at the Nathan's
up.
Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Wait. Are we okay with them dumping the bread in
no,
the water?
No, that's so like, gross, but it's necessary.
Oh, yeah.
They use
soggy
ice,
bread?
Some of them use iced tea.
Oh, it's so nasty. You have to dunk it because you can't have the bread all, you know, clogging you up and whatever. So, like, you got to make it wet to even get it. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Anyways, all of this being said, go watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on ESPN, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. And a happy birthday, America. We have been talking a lot about Kevin Durant, potential trade destinations on today's show. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. We have unpacked the Golden State Warriors as a potential destination, Harry, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's talk about the two teams, though, right now that were actually on KD's list. We know that he apparently wants to go to either the Phoenix Suns or the Miami Heat. He gave Brooklyn a very, very short list. Brooklyn doesn't have to listen to him, but I feel like he made it so short, Harry, because he's really trying to target these destinations. And even though they don't have to listen to him, we never see them not listen, right, to the super, super, mega superstar player. And, of course, one of the reasons for that is who's trading for the guy who's going to come to your team and be disgruntled and not want to play or something like that. I mean, these guys do exercise a lot of power in the NBA. But contractually speaking, the Nets could send them wherever they get the best deal. But one of those spots that he might get the best deal from is, frankly, the Phoenix Suns, a team on the list for KD. They have Ayton. They have Mikal Bridges. They have Cam Johnson. They have first-round picks as well that they could trade away in a package deal. It does look like a deal that the Brooklyn Nets might be interested in.
Yeah, and one person that they cannot get in return is Devin Booker, and that's because of Ben Simmons and I think his rookie max situation that's going on there. And then you look at Devin Booker, who's on I don't know if he's on his rookie max deal. I don't know the technicalities
of
it all.
Well, there's a bunch of technicalities, but also you wouldn't give away Devin Booker because that's the other cornerstone, right? Like, you need KD and Booker together. That's the other reason. But yeah, there's all these technicalities. We'll get to it in a second. It also affects the Miami Heat. It affects both of his trade destinations.
Exactly.
It's when you're on like that rookie max extension.
Exactly. And then you look at Mikal Bridges, a two-way player, a guy that can score the basketball and defend very well. You look at Cam Johnson, a guy who came, who's come along a long ways in the NBA in the few years that he's been in there. I think injury stopped him from really performing the way he wanted to perform this year, because before his injury, he balled out. You have a Cameron Payne, you have a Torrey Craig, you have all kinds of things and pieces, and then draft picks and probably money you can throw in as well with the Phoenix Suns. But imagine Kevin Durant with a Devin Booker, a guy who can score at will and just a natural born scorer, a sharp shooter to go along with KD, and then Chris Paul getting those guys the ball in their sweet spots. That would be a thing to see. And another team in the West, I think, that will contend for a title. It's not like the Phoenix Suns wasn't a good team the last few years, especially with Chris Paul coming over. They had the number one seed last year. They made the NBA Finals a year before, but they just need that piece to get them over the hump. Kevin Durant may be that piece. Now, the Western Conference is going to be stacked this year, so I'm not just going to say, okay, if Kevin Durant went to the Phoenix Suns, they're going to go to the NBA Finals. You still have the Golden State Warriors. You still have the Los Angeles Clippers. And then if Kyrie Irving goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, you still have them as well to tap on to Memphis and the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves and what they did in free agency via trade. So you still have a lot of teams in the Western Conference that can make noise, but your chances increase if you're the Phoenix Suns if you have Kevin Durant on your roster.
Well, and maybe Brooklyn would let KD out of its conference as well, so they don't have to face him like that. But I don't know if that matters as much when you're blowing up the whole team and going through what appears like it's going to be probably a rebuild for Brooklyn coming off of these trades, assuming that they're trading away Kyrie as well, and maybe even Ben Simmons. One thing that we failed to mention when we talked about the Warriors as a potential destination for Kevin Durant is that maybe part of their interest would be that the Warriors would want to do everything in its power to not let Kevin Durant to the Phoenix Suns. There's also other teams in the West that might be motivated to do everything in their power to ensure Kevin Durant doesn't go to the Phoenix Suns, because as stacked as you just said that conference is, let's not pretend like the Suns wouldn't automatically be the favorites. We're talking about the one seed from last season. Yes, they underperformed in the playoffs. Nobody expects they would underperform in the playoffs if they had Kevin Durant on that roster and didn't have to give up Booker or CP3 in order to get him. So that would be a very scary team. Of course, there's a lot of teams in the West who might want to avoid that scenario. And maybe because of that, they get involved and we're looking at a three-team trade with something like a Miami Heat. Hey, let's go ahead and do what we can to facilitate this issue with Bam, because the Heat cannot trade away Bam straight up to Brooklyn because of that aforementioned issue you just mentioned with the rookie extension. So a Miami Heat deal would have to look, if it was straight up, something like this. You'd throw in Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, Max Strus probably, Gabe Vincent, and a couple first-round picks. Trade those away for that package. What do you think of the Miami Heat as a potential destination?
Well, it's something they actually needed. You look at the Eastern Conference Finals, what was the dark cloud hanging over their head? Scoring the basketball and offense. So now you don't have to rely on a Jimmy Butler to get it done every night at the level that they were requiring him to do it in the NBA playoffs this year. Now you have a guy in Kevin Durant, if he goes down to Miami, that you can rely and lean on. Now Jimmy can be that number two guy and be a great counterpart to Kevin Durant. And then you still have Bam Adebayo, who I think needs to step it up more, because I don't think in the playoffs he stepped it up to the level that I thought he should, especially in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's had that one game where he balled out and then he was non-existent the rest of the Eastern Conference mm-hmm. Finals. But you add those, you put those three together and then you put little pieces around them, and I think they'll be fine. Also, when you add a guy like Kevin Durant to any team that you're going to have, is that you don't necessarily worry about depth, and here's why. When you have three guys that you can basically count on offensively, you can have two of those guys on the floor at one time while one of them gets rest. That's why you don't necessarily worry about depth so much. And then Kevin Durant is a top two, top three player in the world right now. So he instantly gives you an opportunity to be better.
Absolutely, Kevin Durant gives any team that he ends up going to an opportunity to be instantly better. Those two teams that we just mentioned coming off of one seed this past season, of course, the Miami Heat getting all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, he seems like the piece, of course, that would get both of those teams over the hump. It's not quite the same as joining the 72 Warriors team, but let's not mistake the fact that KD clearly wants to go to a contender, because both of those teams are and should have been, in the case of Phoenix, contenders this season. So we will see where this Kevin Durant sweepstakes ends up going. Harry, there are still destinations on this list that I think are potentially really interesting. We'll try to get to those before 10 o'clock Eastern. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Tune in to an Independence Day doubleheader today as the Red Sox host the Rays, followed by the Mariners at the Padres. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. So let's get in the baseball mood on this Independence Day. Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, joins us. Buster, why isn't every team playing today on this July 4th?
Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing. We had the same thing happen on Memorial Day, where you kind of look at the schedule going, now what's the reason why? Because it feels like that, you know, every team should be in action on those particular days. And today, two of the teams that aren't in action, the two teams that aren't in action, are the Yankees and the Phillies. I mean, come on, the Phillies, July 4th, right? The Yankees, let's go.
So Buster, I got to ask you, the Yankees, they're on pace right now to win 116 games, which would tie the all-time wins record. And do you think there's a possibility that they can actually win 116 games?
No. And I'll tell you, I'm a bit biased about this because I covered the 98 Yankees. You know, a lot of people regard that team as the greatest team of all time. I covered it for the New York Times, and I just remember all of the ups and downs that team had. And there were so many twists and turns through what was a phenomenal season, including a slump in September that led to their manager, Joe Torre, yelling at them after a game in Tampa, screaming at the players, basically, look, you can't turn on and off your effort like a light switch. And they were actually down 2-1 in the American League Championship Series. So so many things that have to happen for the Yankees to challenge the Mariners' record of 116 regular season wins, which was set in 2001. And this was the big one, and I'm really curious to see if they can continue this. Going into the year, we talked so much about their starting rotation and whether they would be hit by injuries, would stay together. Well, their five starting pitchers have remained intact throughout the first half of the season, and they've started 76 of their 80 games. That's an extraordinarily high number, especially in baseball in 2022, when teams use the injured list so liberally.
Well, as great as the Yankees have been, and Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us here on KJM, as great as the Yankees have been, the Astros won all five against the Yanks. They won 8 of their last 10. Would you take the Astros still in a 7-game series over the Yankees? Who gets the edge there right now?
I think right now, if they were to play a series, I would take the Astros. There does seem to be an edge there. Jose Altuve seems to go, like, turn into the Incredible Hulk now when he plays the Yankees, where maybe he turns all of that booing he's gotten and all the other words the Yankees fans throw at him and flips that back on them. I would say for both the Astros and the Yankees, you know, we'll take a look at the two teams after we get to the trade deadline and see, you know, what additions are made. I don't think Joey Gallo, who's been the weakest link in the Yankees lineup in the first half of the year, I don't think he's going to be on the team after the trade deadline. I think they'll go out and get another outfielder, maybe Andrew Benintendi. Maybe they'll add another reliever. Maybe the Astros will add another reliever. There's some folks in the Astros organization who want a new center fielder. So there's still additions to be made for both of these rosters, but there's no doubt with that great week that the Astros had against the Yankees and Mets, I think they caught everybody's attention.
Buster, on Tuesday, the Mets are getting Max Scherzer back, and Jacob deGrom just had his first rehab start yesterday. What are the chances that the Mets can make the World Series if those two guys are back in the rotation?
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, I thought Brandon Nimmo, their center fielder, had it right a few weeks ago when he said that no matter what teams add before the trade deadline, no other team is going to add what the Mets are going to add. You know, two of the top 10 pitchers in baseball when they're healthy, and it does seem like they're getting to that point. Scherzer, you know, starting against the Reds on Tuesday night. Last night, DeGrom and his rehab start. Faced six hitters. He struck out five. He was throwing 100 miles per hour. He was reminding everybody, even though it's almost been a calendar year since he last pitched, of how great he can be. You throw those two guys at the front end of the Mets rotation, and it's a different team. You know, that said, there's no doubt also that the hottest team in baseball the last month has been the Atlanta Braves, the defending champions, who have cut about 10 games off their deficit behind the Mets.
But what would it mean for the state of New York if you can get the New York Mets to the World Series as well as the New York Yankees?
And I covered the 2000 Subway Series between these two teams. It would absolutely be nuts. And it's interesting because, you know, we've seen there are times in New York where the city's been a Mets town, or there have been times like in the late 90s where it became a Yankees town. I don't think we've ever seen in the existence of the two teams together since the Mets became an expansion franchise in 1962, where they were both superpowers at the same time, with both ownerships spending a ton of money to try to make them better. And this feels like this will be the first round of a lot of rounds to come where you're going to have the Mets and the Yankees going toe-to-toe, not only on the field, not only trying to win championships, but also for some of the best elite players, you know, whether it's Aaron Judge in free agents in the offseason or Shohei Ohtani after next year or Juan Soto. And I think that only underscores how great that rivalry will be.
Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, joining us here on KJAM. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys. So we are talking a lot about the New York Mets, but the Dodgers have the best record in the entire NL. Should they be the favorite then? If we're talking way too early World Series predictions, Buster, should the Dodgers be the favorite right now?
Okay, so among a lot of other stupid picks that I made before the season started, I picked the Atlanta Braves to go back to the World Series, and I'll stand on that. I think that is a really dangerous team that's going to get better as this season goes along. Yes, the Mets are getting Scherzer and DeGrom back, and that'll be extraordinary. But when you look at the depth of what the Braves have, I think they're the best team. And the Dodgers are in an interesting place. You know, they've been the preeminent team in the National League basically for the last 5 or 6 years. But this year, you know, what they've essentially have to do as we go down the stretch is hope that some of their guys, their veterans, start to get better. For example, Cody Bellinger, who was the MVP a few years ago, he just hasn't been the same. They need him to get turned around. They need some bullpen solutions because they've got some holes developing there. And the sense of that I get from other teams is they don't think the Dodgers will make the big aggressive move like they made in recent years before the trade deadline, when they got Yu Darvish and then Manny Machado, then last year Trey Turner, Max Scherzer. They don't think the Dodgers are coming down with a trade deadline hammer like they have in the past.
Buster Olney joining us here, ESPN Baseball Insider. Buster, what is the trade market looking like right now as the playoff picture is slowly starting to take shape?
Yeah, it's probably not going to be as star-laden, Amber, as it's been at times, but some clear needs are developing among some of the contenders. For example, there seems to be a competition for a left-handed hitting outfielder. Blue Jays need that guy. The Yankees need that guy. And there's some teams developing acute needs at starting pitcher. And the team, I think, at the top of that list, the St. Louis Cardinals, who have a lot of great things going on with their club, great young players, deep lineup, excellent bullpen, but they have a clear need for number one, number two type starter. Frankie Montas of the Oakland Athletics, I think generally speaking, has been considered to be the number one starting pitcher available, but he had to come out of his game yesterday with what the A's were saying was some shoulder stiffness. His velocity was down a couple miles per hour. That's going to be a name worth watching. The Cincinnati Reds are in sell mode. Chicago Cubs, maybe Kyle Hendricks gets moved before the deadline. there will be a lot of focus on starting pitching for some of the contenders.
Buster, Aaron Judge leads the Major League Baseball with 29 home runs. How many will he finish with this season?
Harry, I've got him under 60. But, I mean, I'm hoping like crazy keeps on this pace because you and I know that if he continues, you know, where it looks like he's got a shot at 60, 61, it's going to be a lot like it was in 98 with McGuire and Sosa where, you know, we're going to have cut-ins on SportsCenter for his plate appearances. Right. Because there's going to be a lot of excitement about that. No one's hit 60 since Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa did in 2001. And what timing for Aaron Judge going into free agency. You know, he bet on himself in a big way by turning down the Yankees' $213.5 million offer back in April. And it's like he's checking every box. Production, leadership, face of the franchise, everything. And if he's going to, you know, really push the Yankees around negotiations, he's going to need an inspired owner of another team to come after him to drive those numbers maybe up to $300 million.
Finally here, Buster, the most important question of all, so brace yourself. What is on the Buster Olney July 4th menu? Are you a hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill kind of man?
There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. Onion rings for sure. Yeah, and you got to throw some cheddar cheese, Vermont cheddar cheese on the burger.
Ooh, must be Vermont. All right. Well, there you have it. Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider. Thanks, Buster, for stopping by.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, why one NBA free agency move might have tipped the balance of the entire league. We will explain. This is KJM with Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike. today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys on this July 4th on KJM. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can always give us a shout on the call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You got the old school R&B jams. You got Harry Douglas dancing. By the way, Harry Douglas was dancing to Buster Olney's baseball takes with us in the last segment because Buster only said that his pick in the NL to go to the World Series was the Atlanta Braves. I had never seen anybody without music at all. Like, you dancing right now makes sense, Harry. I had never seen anybody just dance to a Buster only baseball take. I mean, they're hot takes, so I'm not blaming you for it. But you thought that take was the hottest takes. So you were hype.
I'm high on my Braves. Not literally high, but I'm high on the Braves. I'm hype on my Braves. Michael Harris, the second man, he's come on strong for the Atlanta Braves. Matt Olson has really filled the void for Freddie Freeman, and there hasn't been a drop-off. So I'll just stop it right there.
Before you go down a path here into Atlanta Braves, you know, I wasn't actually trying to set you up for that. I'm just trying to set you up for all the hype and all the vibes that you got going on this Independence Day. Thank you all for joining us on a holiday. We have been unpacking a ton on today's show when it comes to not just baseball, but also all the NFL storylines and everything NBA offseason as well, because NBA free agency is the gift that keeps on giving. The Kevin Durant sweepstakes, also the gift that keeps on giving. If you missed any of it, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. For all things NBA, we bring in our friend Andre Snellings, ESPN NBA senior writer, joining us. Dre, happy July 4th. Let's start with, what do you think so far is the most impactful NBA offseason move? So far, pre-KD move, what's been the most impactful one?
Well, so far, well, first of all, y'all brought me on to If It Isn't Love, new edition.
That's why you got the jams. That was just for you, Dre. We know you're
vibing off that. That was my first concert, 1988 NE Heartbreak Tour. I think by far the most impactful move so far has been Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves. And I honestly can't figure out why more people aren't talking about it. I think that with that one move, the Timberwolves have put themselves at the very top of the Western Conference. You know, the Golden State Warriors, they're the incumbent, so, you know, they get their respect. But I think that move shot the Timberwolves past the Suns, past the Grizzlies, probably past even the healthy Clippers to be the biggest challenge to the Warriors out West. And no one seems to really be discussing it.
So Andre Snelling's first concert ever, new edition. Harry Douglas, what was your first concert? Mine was Paul Abdul, Color Me Bad. What was your first concert ever, Harry Douglas? You remember?
T.I.
was your first concert? Wait, what was this, 2010?
In his heyday.
When you started going to concerts?
No, you got to understand.
I'm serious.
You feel me? Amber.
Oh, I'm going way back there.
We taking it to the hood.
That's Atlanta. Well, that's Atlanta. That's Atlanta for you. That's a Harry Douglas growing up in Atlanta type vibes.
Yeah. So, Dre, I want to piggyback on what you said. See, the only reason why I would not have the Minnesota Timberwolves there at the top is because their point guard play. Not saying I don't believe in D'Angelo Russell, but some of the things that I've seen, especially from him against the Memphis Grizzlies in the playoff game, understanding pace as a point guard, understanding who needs the ball in certain moments as a point guard, understanding that you just can't jack up shots and shoot up anything, especially in a playoff series that's so important to your team from that position, that's why I wouldn't put them there. It's because of the point guard play from D'Angelo Russell and how he needs to mature more at that position.
I think that's fair. And, you know, playmaking is the biggest potential weakness, I think, on this team. D'Angelo Russell, he does need to mature. You know, I will say, watching the Timberwolves last season, he was taking strides towards maturing that I had never seen from him before. He had always been more of a scorer, in my opinion, than a point guard. But last season, especially once Anthony Edwards came on and with Karl Anthony Towns, it seemed that Russell was willing to take more of a backseat as a scorer more often to try to set up his teammates. And I think that was an important step for him along this pathway. But when I just look at what the Timberwolves were already, like, they were winning and they were one of the exciting young teams in the NBA based on the strength of their offense, based on the strength of being able to put more points on the board than almost, you know, than most of their opponents. Mm-hmm. Now you add Rudy Gobert to that, who's the best defensive player. Him and Draymond Green are the two best defensive players of this generation. And Gobert is just a huge impact guy. So Steph Curry and LeBron James are the only two players in the last three seasons to finish ahead of Gobert in real plus minus in all three of those seasons. Like, he's just a huge impact guy. So you take that Timberwolves team I saw last season and give them a defense, and it doesn't even really change their style that much, because their former power forward Vanderbilt played a lot like a traditional center. So you just upgrade that position, give them an outstanding defense to go with that strong offense. I think they're going to be tough to beat.
I like it. Now, which move do you think was bigger in NBA free agency? Was it Gobert going to the Timberwolves or Malcolm Brogdon going to the Boston Celtics?
I think the Gobert move was bigger because it moved the needle further. Like, the Brogdon move was also highly underrated, in my opinion. I was on a NBA free agency special the Sunday before free agency began, and I was talking with Nuno, the producer, on the air about, you know, what the Celtics needed to do to step up from where they were and have a better chance to win a championship. And we both agreed that point guard and playmaking was their big weakness. And on the air, we literally said, what they need to do is make a move for a point guard like Malcolm Brogdon. And then 4 days later, they literally signed Malcolm Brogdon. So I think he gives them exactly what they need. You know, you pair him with Marcus Smart in the backcourt, they've got a lot more playmaking, and that can keep the ball a bit out of Tatum and Brown's hands in high-pressure situations, so that you don't see so many turnovers like we saw in the finals, which ultimately led to their downfall. So I think that was a big move. But I think that team was already championship caliber, obviously, whereas the Timberwolves were not, and now I think they are.
Andre Snelling's ESPN NBA senior writer joining us here on KJM. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys. Dre, we have been talking, of course, a ton about the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, right? It's the gift that keeps on giving to sports radio. Mark Spears had this crazy idea that KD should return to the Warriors. We were getting reports that apparently the Warriors are interested. I mean, listen, 29 should be interested in Kevin Durant, right? But what is your reaction to the idea that KD could return to the Warriors?
You know, Mark is my big brother at ESPN. So, you know, if he says it, then, you know, I'm like, hey, that's what it is. I personally have trouble imagining Durant back on the Warriors. It just feels like for both Durant to the Warriors and all of the rumors of Kyrie going to the Lakers to join LeBron, it feels like it would just be a rewind. You know, right? Like 4 years ago or so, both of those players were in that situation. And it really felt like both players wanted to break out from that situation. That Kyrie wanted to get out from underneath LeBron's shadow, and that KD wanted to go to his own team and win a championship separate from Steph and Dre and Clay. And so if 4 years later, after not having done it on their own, both of them were to go back to their original situations, like my brain can't accept that. It just made, you know, it just feels like something's popping in my head every time I think about it.
My brain can't accept it either, right? It seems crazy. I can't. KD's brain's not going to be able to accept it either, Andre, right? I mean, there's no way.
I don't see it happening, but, you know, I think, like you said, all 29 have to be interested. The Warriors could put a great package together if they wanted to. So at least I'm sure it's worth discussing.
Okay, two things here on the way out, because we are up against it. One, where's KD going? and also, but far, far more importantly, what is on the menu for July 4th in the Andre Snelling's household?
Oh, yeah. First of all, the menu, we've got two barbecues today, one in my mom's house and one in my mother-in-law's house. So we're going to be eating good. As far as where KD's going to end up, I kind of feel like even though they don't have the best package to put together, it might end up being Miami. You know, Pat Riley seems to get what he wants. And I could imagine that he would like at age 77 to have another shot at the championship with a player like Kevin Durant.
Oh, Dre, you know I'm dancing to that. Woo! Celebrate. You just made my Independence Day. Let's hope you are right. Andre Snelling, ESPN NBA senior writer. Thanks, Dre, for joining us.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
Whew. That take, Harry. That was like Buster Olney's take about the Braves for you in the World Series.
I don't mind going down to Miami more often, Amber. You know, we can link up down there, you know, like we did at the Hawks game versus the Heat. But I want to go down to the South Beach. Like Stephen A. South Beach.
The possibility.
I want to go to South Beach.
We can figure out that whole Bam can't be traded to the Nets thing. By the way, what, you can ship Ben Simmons down? That takes care of that whole problem, too. We'll take him. Sure. You know what? Kyrie, too. We'll just take them all. Coming up next, though, the free agency move that we think will have the biggest impact. We will let you know what that is. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas filling in for the guys here on KJM. It is July 4th, Harry Douglas, and we obviously doing this morning show today. You and I are working, which we're very fortunate to be able to do that. Hang out, talk sports, right? It's those guys that are missing out for enjoying their holiday without the work. But we knew that we were going to have to, of course, do this morning show. So I knew I was getting up at, you know, like 4 in the morning. And so last night, I get into bed early, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, I used to host a morning show every single day, so I know the deal. You want to try to get into bed a reasonable hour, like early, you know, like 8:30, try to wind yourself down, be asleep before 10 p.m. if you can do it. And like 9:45, the fireworks in my neighborhood. They just start, people are just lighting off fireworks. It's like there's, you know, gunshots outside is what it sounds like. My dog's going nuts because my poor dog, my old dog, he's like totally terrified by fireworks. So he's freaking out in my room. And I was thinking there's zero chance I'm going to get sleep tonight. And I found myself very annoyed by the fireworks situation. How do you feel about fireworks?
Well, it was a problem in my household. I used to love them, but both of my kids who are now 6 and then my son will be 3 on July 6th. Are scared of fireworks and the sounds that they make. So guess who had to sleep in me and my wife's bed last night? Both of my kids, because of the sounds from the fireworks and stuff like that. So I am not a huge fan of it anymore. I used to be, but it doesn't put my kids in a good spot. We went to Disney World one time, right? Disney World. We took, before my son was born, we took my daughter. My son was in my wife's belly. And we had to leave because of the fireworks and my daughter spazzing out. Like, so that's how bad it is. Both of them, they hate fireworks. They hate the loud noises.
They need to toughen up a little bit, Harry. First of all, you can't totally hate. Listen. Like, I'm over here complaining, sounding old, because I had to get up at 4 a.m. But you can't hate fireworks as an American, particularly not on July 4th.
Well, if they, I if like they ruffle my fireworks. Kids, if they ruffle my kids' feathers, yes, I can. Listen, my daughter.
Tough it up a little. Listen, my
daughter,
you've
gotten soft since you left the NFL.
Well, you know what? I tell my daughter what you said. Pat, you know she loves to fight. I'm pretty sure she would.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say about your daughter. The little bit I know about your daughter, seems like a budding woman who could handle herself some fireworks. Like,
that's
we need to expose her to some more fireworks or something, Harry Douglas. Now, your son is my son's age. Your son's just about to turn 3. My son just turned 3. I don't really know how my son feels about fireworks, to be honest with you. He hasn't really been exposed to many fireworks. He was asleep last night before they started going off, and thankfully he stayed asleep. So come to think of it, I'm not sure he's really been around fire. But your daughter, she's like 5, isn't she, Harry?
She's six.
Old enough.
She's 6, but
6.
She a tough one. No, she a tough one. Like she'll fight any and everybody if y'all make her watch fireworks. I'm telling you now.
But that's going to be her kryptonite, is setting off the fireworks. That's as far as the toughness goes. Harry and I are too busy dancing to talk. Yeah. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas. Get it. Amber Wilson and Harry Douglas hanging out with you on this July 4th on KJM. Thanks for joining us. You can give us a call to actually join the conversation on the call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are happy that you are spending your holiday morning with us. There's also a lot of teams in the NBA that are happy about new players joining those rosters. And one of those teams were the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, we just had on Andre Snellings. If you miss any of the show today, we are taking you up until 10 o'clock Eastern. We have been on air since 6 o'clock Eastern. If you miss any of us, go ahead, check out the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max podcast on the ESPN app. But Andre Snellings said something interesting there that you took a little bit of an issue with, because you pressed him, Harry Douglas, like the consummate journalist that you are, right? You pressed him. And you asked him the tough questions, because he said that the Wolves, he thinks the acquisition of Rudy Gobert to that Minnesota team is the biggest move so far in the pre-KD moving NBA offseason. And you seem to not agree with that. I actually tend to agree with him that I actually think that was a huge move for Minnesota. Now, I'm not saying they win an NBA title in the Rudy Gobert era, but I think that is an incredibly improved team. I think a huge loss for Dallas that they didn't get in on the Rudy Gobert sweepstakes. I thought that Dallas really, really could have used that elite defensive help.
Well, I didn't agree when he said that the Wolves should probably be the favorites in the West. I didn't agree with that. Because I don't think when you look at pace-wise and when you get to those moments, and the proof is in the pudding, because we've seen it against the Memphis Grizzlies. Your point guard, you have to understand pace of the game. And we've seen it happen to the Boston Celtics. When you don't have a point guard at that position who can get guys the ball in the sweet spot, because this is not a one-game series that you're going into. This is a seven-game series. And in a seven-game series, the opposing team understands every play that you're running and everything that you want to do. So controlling the pace of the game is key and ideal for a team winning a championship. That's why you see a Steph Curry. That's why you see a Rajon Rondo when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics, being able to orchestrate things and get LeBron the ball and AD the basketball in their sweet spots. Those type of things, like Kyle Lowry when he was in Toronto, they were able to do those types of things. And I don't think D'Lo is at that level yet. Now, is he going to be able to grow? Yes. Has he been growing? Yes. But I don't think it's to the point of where you can just say the Minnesota Timberwolves are the favorites, because let me tell you this. You look at the Minnesota Timberwolves and they're going against the Golden State Warriors, right? I'm putting Rudy Gobert in the pick and roll every damn time down the court. I'm putting D'Angelo Russell. I'm isolating him every damn time down the court. I'm picking on those two guys.
D'Angelo Russell. I feel like that's what I learned also when we were talking to Andre Snellings, because you were pretty down on the development of D'Angelo Russell.
I don't like hate him. It's just that, just watching certain things in a basketball game that a point guard should understand and should know. It's not like he's in year two or three. He's been in the league for a while now, right? You have to understand at the end of the game, we don't want you shooting the last damn shot. We want Anthony Edwards or Karl-Anthony Towns shooting the last shot. Those are things that I've seen in the playoffs. And those are another reasons why the Memphis Grizzlies were able to come back from being so many points down in multiple games in that series, is because they don't understand pace and how to do certain things and when to slow the basketball down and when to get guys the basketball and not just shoot crazy shots. So when I look at that and I look at other teams in the Western Conference, you look at a Reggie Jackson, you look at a John Wall, how are you going to pick the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Los Angeles Clippers with a healthy Kawhi Leonard and a Paul George and a healthy Clippers team have the best roster in the NBA? Yes, healthy. He's coming healthy back this year. He's going to play. Yeah.
Is he?
Because let's talk about Kawhi Leonard when he's healthy.
Play the whole season.
Kawhi Leonard won an NBA championship with the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard won an NBA championship with the Toronto Raptors. So when he is healthy, mm-hmm, he is one of the most dominant players and a top 10 player in the NBA. Let's not forget that.
No, listen, I'm not at all negating the greatness of Kawhi Leonard. I'm just negating the health of that Clippers team, because we never see it and we never all see it come together at any given time. So it's hard to believe that we're going to see it for an entire season, although that roster always looks like a monster, though, frankly, in Los Angeles. I think that this Timberwolves team, I think the addition of Rudy Gobert, I actually do agree with Andre that I think it's huge. I'm not saying it's win the Western Conference huge. I think it's huge, like build off their playoff appearance last season, huge, continue to build around Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. They signed Kat to that extension. I just think that they're headed in the right direction for what, outside of Gobert, is a young, fun, building franchise. I think that they are becoming a formidable opponent in the West. What about what the Celtics have done? Because I would maybe put that on the list of biggest moves in the pre-moving KD NBA offseason. Because Kevin Durant, wherever, I mean, that's going to be the biggest move, right, of the NBA offseason. Yep. But before that goes down, Malcolm Brogdon, most notably, I mean, you get Gallinari as well to the Seas, but Malcolm Brogdon, we know that they so desperately needed a point guard, and now you've got Brogdon there at that guard position, Harry. I think it's huge for a Boston team that, you know, essentially got Brogdon for a first round pick that's going to land in the mid to late 20s, and he's really good, and he adds also to Boston's ridiculously stacked defense. Like, the Celtics got better,
and you have another guy at that position that is big and long and a two-way player. When you look at the Boston Celtics this year, and you've seen throughout the playoffs the turnovers. When they had 16-plus, you've seen the record not be good. When they didn't have those turnovers, they were tremendous. But you've also seen in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors team, like I just mentioned, when you don't have that point guard that can orchestrate things and you're playing against an elite team like the Golden State Warriors, they can make you look silly because they're so good defensively as well, and you turn the basketball over. Now you have a Malcolm Brogdon. Not saying that he's going to orchestrate everything within the offense, but he's a guy that can have the basketball in his hands and make plays and also set other guys up. Is he a traditional natural point guard like we see from Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo and guys like that? No, he's not. But he's also a guy that can provide scoring and can knock down open shots when he's on the basketball court.
What do you think about the addition of Atlanta getting DeJounte Murray? Because they gave up a lot for him. I mean, the Hawks are in your backyard. They gave up a lot for him. But to me, that's also a huge addition to a team that really disappointed in the postseason this season, but we know what they did the season before with Trae Young.
You had to throw that in. Yes, so
I mean,
and
they
Amber...
didn't disappoint me as a Miami Heat fan. Believe that.
Well, I was disappointed because I thought they were going to win more than one game. But what it also showed is what I thought about the Atlanta Hawks is that Trae Young needs another Batman. I mean, another a Robin to his Batman. Right now, they got to continue to build around. Who says Kevin Durant shouldn't go down there to Atlanta?
What?
Oh, right here in Atlanta. Oh, I said it here first.
What are we talking about? Let's go to Miami, KD. Okay, it's let's spend a little time there, close to South Beach. Because by the way,
Philly's pretty cool this time of year.
Oh, Philly. Well, what's funny about that, actually, Pat, is I intended to get to the whole 76ers potential angle of a Kevin Durant trade. So maybe we'll unpack that coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.